Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Utkarsh Gandhi, General Manager, Investor Relations for Glenmark Pharmaceuticals. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator. Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to the Q2 FY23 results conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. Before we start the call, a quick review of the operations for the company for the quarter ended September 30, 2022. For the second quarter of FY23, Glenmark's consolidated revenue from operations was at rupees 33,752 million, as against rupees 31,474 million in the corresponding quarter last year, recording a growth of 7.2%. For the six months ended September 30, 2022, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at rupees 61,525 million, as against rupees 61,123 million, recording an increase of 0.7%. We'll provide some key highlights for each of our businesses, starting with the India formulations business. Sales for the formulation business in India for the second quarter of FY23 was at rupees 10,916 million, as against rupees 9,689 million in the previous corresponding quarter, recording growth of 12.7%. India business contribution was at 32.3% of the total revenues in the second quarter of FY23, compared to 30.8% last year. As per IQVIA MAT September 2022 data, Glenmark's India formulation business is ranked 14th with a market share of 2.19%. During the quarter, Glenmark's India business continued to strengthen its position in its core therapy areas in terms of market share. As per IQVIA data, the cardiac market share increased to 5.3% compared to 4.73% last year, while the anti-diabetic market share increased to 1.82% compared to 1.79% last year. In dermatology also, the market share increased from 8.12% to 8.16%, and in respiratory, the market share changed from 5.3% to 5.27%. As per IQVIA data, the company is ranked second in the dermatology segment, fourth in respiratory, and has increased its ranking to fifth in the cardiac segment. The company has nine brands in the IPM top 300 brands in the country on the basis of the IQVIA MAT September 2022 data. The company launched nine new products during the quarter and continued to gain market share in some of the key launches in cardiac and anti-diabetic segment. The key new launches which are driving growth in the anti-diabetic segment include sitagliptin and its fixed-dose combinations with metformin and dapagliflozin respectively, all of which were launched at the start of the second quarter of FY23. The company has introduced eight different combinations of sitagliptin-based drugs under the brand name SitaZit and its variants to increase accessibility to affordable and quality treatment options for patients with uncontrolled type 2 diabetes. In the first quarter, Glenmark had also become the first company to launch teneligliptin-pioglitazone fixed-dose combination drug for type 2 diabetes under the brand name Zita Plus Pio. At the time of launch, it was the only available DPP-4 glitazone combination brand in India. Glenmark also recently launched a combination of teneligliptin with dapagliflozin. Recently, Glenmark also became the first company in India to launch lobeglitazone 0.5 mg under the brand name LobG for the treatment of uncontrolled type 2 diabetes. With this launch, the company aims to improve glycemic levels in uncontrolled diabetics and create a pathway to treat insulin resistance in India. Glenmark now has a strong portfolio of products across various levels of intervention for the treatment of type 2 diabetes in India. The company has an overall healthy pipeline of differentiated products, which it plans to launch in the market going forward. The consumer care business in India, the primary sales for the GCC business, in Q2 was rupees 555 million with a growth of 8%. This was mirrored by strong secondary sales growth of 11%. As of YTD September, the GCC revenue was at about 1,203 million with a growth of 42%. Our flagship brand, Candid Powder, delivered strong revenue growth of 11% for Q2 and 44% for the first half of FY23, La Shield portfolio, which is our second brand, delivered 31% growth in Q2 and more than 100% growth in the first half, while Scalpe Plus portfolio recorded 18% growth in Q2 and 28% growth in the first half of FY23. Moving on to North America. North America registered revenue from the sale of finished dosage formulations of rupees 7,533 million for the second quarter of FY23, as against revenue of rupees 7,543 million for the previous corresponding quarter, recording a decline of 0.1%. North America business contributed 22.3% to the consolidated sales in the second quarter of FY23, compared to 24% in Q2 last year. In the second quarter of FY23, Glenmark received final approval for norethindrone, ethinyl estradiol capsules and ferric fumarate capsules, 1 mg/20 micrograms, the generic to Tetula. The company filed one ANDA in the second quarter and plans to file 10 to 12 ANDAs in FY23. Glenmark's marketing portfolio through September 30th consists of 176 generic products authorized for distribution in the U.S. market. The company currently has 47 applications pending at various stages of the approval process. Moving on to Europe, Glenmark's Europe operations for the second quarter of FY23 recorded revenue of rupees 3,785 million as against rupees 3,383 million, recording a growth of almost 12%. Europe business contributed 11.2% to the total revenues in the second quarter of FY23 compared to 10.7% last year. The company continued to achieve a healthy double-digit growth across all key markets in Europe in the second quarter of FY23, in spite of ongoing macroeconomic challenges. Glenmark's covered market growth continued to remain strong across both Western Europe and the Central Eastern Europe markets. Base business growth in Western European markets such as UK and Germany remained strong, while CE markets like Poland, Czech and Slovakia benefited from new product launches. Overall, Glenmark continued to launch multiple new products across various markets, and the respiratory portfolio in Europe also continued to gain share across both Western Europe and CE countries. ROW, which consists of Asia, Middle East, Africa, Latin America and Russia CIS, for the second quarter of FY23, revenue from the ROW region was rupees 6,154 million as against rupees 7,486 million for the previous corresponding quarter, recording a decline of 17.8%. The decline was on account of a high base last year due to strong sales of the COVID portfolio. Adjusted for that, the region recorded 15+% growth in Q2. Our ROW business contributed 18% to the total revenues in Q2 of FY23 compared to 23% in Q2 last year. While the macroeconomic situation continued to remain challenging, the pharmaceutical market in Russia has remained stable and provided opportunities for growth. Overall, Glenmark's Russia business recorded a positive trend in the second quarter. For the month of September, Glenmark outperformed the retail market by value and also gained two positions in terms of the overall rankings on the retail market. Glenmark also gained three positions and was ranked 8th on the dermatology market, while it continued to be ranked 2nd on the expectorant market in Russia. Business growth was aided by strong performance in key products such as across the dermatology market, as well as additional promotion on the new indication for Ryaltris. Asia region recorded slightly subdued growth in the second quarter. Markets such as Malaysia and Philippines recorded double-digit secondary growth, but there were multiple headwinds in other Asian markets like Myanmar, Vietnam, and Sri Lanka, which led to a slightly lower growth. As per IQVIA MAT June 2022 data for the Philippines, Malaysia, and Sri Lanka markets, Glenmark is ranked 6th over in the overall covered market and ranked 1st in the dermatology segment. Our partner Yuan Corporation received approval for Ryaltris in South Korea towards the end of the second quarter, and also Ryaltris continues to do well for us in India and the Philippines, where the product has already been launched. In Middle East and Africa, the region recorded 21% growth in secondary sales during the second quarter of FY23. While growth in Kenya was largely impacted by macroeconomic factors, Glenmark continued to achieve strong secondary sales growth of 30+% in South Africa and Saudi Arabia. As per IMS MAT data, Glenmark is ranked third amongst all generic pharma companies in Kenya. Latin America witnessed growth of 22% at a regional level, with most of the markets recording good growth during the second quarter. The respiratory portfolio in Latin America continued to gain significant scale, particularly in large markets like Brazil and Mexico. The company is planning to launch additional products in the region to further augment the overall portfolio. Some updates on our global respiratory business for the second quarter, starting off with Ryaltris. In FY23, Ryaltris is targeted to be approved slash launched in 34 markets globally. As of September 30, 2022, we have already received approval or launched the product in 16 markets, either through our own field force or through our partners. And we are further awaiting approval in 18 markets, which are expected to be received in the second half of FY23. Glenmark's partner in the US, Hikma, commercially launched Ryaltris in August 2022. As mentioned before, Glenmark also supplied product to its partner in South Korea, Yuan, upon its approval in the second quarter, and to enable them to launch to complete the commercial launch of Ryaltris in October 2022. Following approval in Canada, Glenmark's partner Bosch intends to launch the product in the fourth quarter of FY23. And additionally, in the second quarter, Glenmark received marketing authorization grants for Ryaltris in Malaysia, Kazakhstan, Moldova, and Dominican Republic, and also submitted the MA application in Vietnam and Zimbabwe. The company is awaiting regulatory approvals for its filings in Brazil, Mexico, Vietnam, and several other emerging markets. Ryaltris sales continue to grow in various markets where the product has already been launched across the globe. Some of the key markets include Australia, the UK, Czech Republic, Poland, Italy, Russia, South Africa, and the Philippines. Glenmark's partner in Europe, Menarini, intends to launch the product in H2 of FY23 in additional key European markets. And Glenmark's partner in mainland China, Grand Pharmaceuticals, has made significant progress on the enrollment in the phase 3 study, with approximately 70% of the recruitment being completed by the end of second quarter. Grand Pharma aims to complete the study by mid-2023 and submit the NDA application by the end of 2023. In terms of other key respiratory products, as mentioned in the first quarter also, clinical trials continues to move forward as per plan for the generic Flovent PMDI, and we expect to file the product in the calendar year 2023. And we plan to file at least one more generic respiratory PMDI in the US in the calendar year 23 and continue filing momentum beyond that. Some updates on our innovative R&D pipeline. GRC-254276, which is our HPK1 inhibitor, is the company's oncology pipeline asset being developed as an orally administered IO adjuvant treatment for patients with solid tumors in oncology. A phase 1 dose escalation study is ongoing in India as per plan. Successful recruitment of patients in cohort 1 was completed in the second quarter of FY23. There were no dose-limiting toxicities observed in the first cohort, and subsequently, cohort 2 has also been initiated. In total, 10 patients have already been dosed with the drug. GRC-39815, this is the ROR gamma T and the company's respiratory pipeline asset being developed as an inhaled therapy for the treatment of mild to moderate COPD. This is currently under phase 1 clinical development in the US. A quick update on Glenmark Life Sciences. Revenue from operations including captive sales were ₹5,093 million as against ₹5,618 million, recording a YOY decline of -9.3% due to the high base of COVID products last year. During Q2, regulated market contribution increased to almost 74% with growth of 7% Q-on-Q. CDMO business also recorded strong growth of 27%+ Q-on-Q. GLS filed 4 DMF CEPs during the second quarter and also made progress on the capacity expansion initiatives across its plants. External sales for Glenmark Life Sciences in Q2 FY23 were at ₹3,744 million as against ₹3,354 million in Q2 FY22, recording a growth of 11.6% YOY. For further updates on GLS, please log on to their website, glenmarklifesciences.com. Lastly, on Ichnos Sciences, Glenmark has invested ₹1,727 million, almost $22 million in the second quarter of FY23, compared to ₹1,850 million, which was about $25 million in the corresponding quarter last year. For the first 6 months of FY23, Glenmark has invested ₹3,363 million compared to ₹3,467 million invested in the corresponding period for the previous financial year. For further updates on the pipeline and the organization, please log on to ichnosciences.com. The pipeline update for the second quarter of FY23 has been published on their website. We would just like to state our key objectives for FY23, which remain unchanged from the start of the year. Revenue growth of 6-8% during the year, sustaining our EBITDA margin performance at similar levels as of FY22, capex of about 700 to 800 crores, keeping our focus on enhancing free cash generation and debt reduction, and closing out 1 to 2 out licensing deals across our innovation pipeline. Some additional notes to the results before we open the Q&A. Reported EBITDA excluding other income was at ₹612.6 crores with a margin of 15.4%. There was a COVID-related inventory provision of 31 crores in the second quarter. Adjusted for that, EBITDA for Q2 was ₹652.6 crores with a margin of 19.3%. Forex gain for the quarter was at ₹81 crores, which is recorded in other income. Gross debt for the period ended September 30, 2022 was at ₹3,954 crores as against ₹3,670 crores as of March 31, 2022. Net debt for the period ended September 30, 2022 was at ₹2,715 crores as against ₹2,260 crores as of March 31st. The increase in net debt was primarily on account of adverse forex exchange impact during the first half of FY23. Working capital inventory for the period ended September 30th was at ₹2,865 crores as against ₹2,500 crores in March. Receivables were at ₹3,328 crores as against ₹3,101 crores, and payables was at ₹2,348 crores compared to ₹2,289 crores. Total asset addition in the quarter was ₹134 crores, most of which was related to tangible assets. R&D expenditure in Q2 FY23 was around 330 crores, which is close to 10% of revenue from operations for the second quarter. For the full year, we expect R&D expense to remain around 10 to 11% of our sales. Before we open the floor up for Q&A, I would like to introduce the management of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals on the call today. We have with us Mr. Glenn Saldanha, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. V.S. Mani, Executive Director and Global Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Brendan O'Grady, Chief Executive Officer, Global Formulations Business. With that, we'd like to open the floor up for Q&A. Over to you, moderator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning. My first question is on the other expenses. They have gone up almost 18% year on year, much higher than the, you know, the way the top line has grown. If you can just elaborate on this, why the expenses are moving at a much faster pace.
So good morning, Sayan. Mani here. I'll respond to this question. So Sayan, obviously last year, if you recollect, you know, the first quarter and a little bit of the second quarter, we had some amount of the COVID effect, okay? So obviously current year, you don't have COVID effect, and obviously everybody's ramping up on their, you know, marketing initiatives, etc. So the cost is a little up. I would also, you know, urge you to look at, see, on a half-yearly basis, if I look at it, yes, it is definitely higher than the sales growth. But on a half-yearly basis, year to year, it's about 12% growth, okay? So the first quarter was still a little low. Second quarter has been a little high, but obviously we are trying to, you know, kind of take some initiatives, and therefore the spends are a little higher. I think, but overall, even if still, if you take that, our other expenses to sales is about 25 odd percent. So we, over the years, we've kind of brought it down to 25, 26 compared to what it used to be. And I think we'll try our best to keep it around those levels.
Okay. And the second question is on your net debt level. It has gone up for the 6 months. I think one of the objectives is to, you know, organically, you know, to kind of bring down the net debt. So what's your comment for the second half and how you see net debt level by the end of the year?
So, Sam, absolutely. That's been one of our key objectives over the last couple of years. We have made some progress there, but I think definitely we would like to do more. So what I would like to say is that obviously the objective remains the same, but and also, you know, we certainly will see it, assuming that currency remains at the current levels or, you know, kind of goes lower and there are no major disruptions in the supply chain, okay? So one of the reasons why you can see over the last couple of quarters, the inventory levels, while they're still useful, I mean, they're still important and we need to keep it at those levels, bit of the inventory, I mean, a bit of a debt increase also is due to some of those inventory and some of the working capital issues that we had. Yeah. And that's across the board to everybody. Yeah.
Okay. And just one final question, if I can ask, on the U.S. Market. So what would be the, you know, dollar million impact because of the Baddi import alert? And what's your outlook, therefore, on the U.S. market going forward?
Yeah. So, so Sayan, as you can see that, you know, we had also kind of indicated that it is about 1 to 2% of our overall global sales. It's about, at best, you know, about 20 million or so. So I think, but also we will work actively on site transfers, et cetera, to mitigate what we have. So obviously we'll try to best to ensure that it will not get impacted. But if you ask me an impact, this is what it could be at best, okay, for a full year.
Okay, thank you. And I'll join back.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just on this other revenue as a segment has significantly up this quarter. Is this to do with some milestone income and if you could quantify?
Yeah, a certain portion of that is due to the basically milestone that you have received. Normally we don't give an indication what is the amount. Because these are between agreements between us and the party concerned. But a decent part of that is still sustainable, okay? That's what I can guide you.
You mean to say this other revenue as a quantum is sustainable for the
remaining? Not the full amount, but at least a certain portion of that, at least 20-25% is definitely sustainable, yeah.
And just as a clarity, this inventory provision is done for 31 crores in COGS or in other expenses?
No, it is done in sales, yeah. You get a goods return, no? So it goes to sales directly and then obviously it has no value. So it immediately impacts your cost as well as your EBITDA. It goes straight to the EBITDA. You sold a good, it came back to you, it has no value today, you write it. I mean, it expires. That's how expiry is worked.
Right, so it is deducted from sales itself is what?
Exactly, strict. And it has no value to it.
Understood. That's it.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just the first question on Realtris, and we have launched through the partner in August. Any early signs or anything that you can share there? And you have now launched in multiple countries. So if you could help us understand how large this is or any outlook here will be very helpful.
Sure. So I'll take that question. So we launched in the U.S. through Hikma. The launch date was August 30th. So right at the end of August, kind of midway through the fall allergy season. So I don't expect to see a ton of uptake in the fall allergy season because it'll take the reps, you know, a couple months and a couple cycles to see physicians to generate demand. But what I've seen to date is the uptake has been good. It's been well received. I think it's going to take a little bit of time to get payer access, but again, I've reviewed the plan there, and they're a little bit ahead of where I thought they would be with payer access. So I think as we work through the rest of the late fall and we get into the early spring, I think Ryaltris will be successful, find a good trajectory in the U.S. As far as other markets, I think as we mentioned, we've launched 16 through the second quarter, another five so far year to date, so up to 21. We'll have 34 by the end of the year, six directly, and then seven through partners. So Ryaltris is off to certainly a good start. And from a revenue perspective this year, I would expect probably $20 to $30 million in revenue for Ryaltris for Glenmark.
Got it. That's very helpful. My second question is just again on the U.S. business. So it's declined about 11%. I'm just talking dollar terms here. If you could help us understand what's happening in terms of the base business and how are we mitigating? How should we look at it in the second half? Will it stabilize here? You think there is erosion still ahead?
Yeah, thanks for the question. If you think about the U.S. business, I think it's a challenging market for everybody. We continue to see price erosion, along with the market. And I think that, the regulatory environment has been challenging as well. So, trying to get new products approved and launched in the market is key to combating price erosion. I think that if you look at the U.S., we'll be probably about flat to where we were last year. I think that you'll see third quarter improve over second quarter, and I would expect that fourth quarter, even with the body impact, fourth quarter will improve over third quarter. So we're gaining momentum as the year goes along. Again, we'll probably be relatively flat to last year, and we hope to see several new product approvals as we go throughout the rest of this year.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do the math here. So we had about 410 or 12 million something last year. We have done for the first half like 180. So we should be getting there, right? Or
I think we'll be close to right around 400, give or take, somewhere in there. We'll see how things go, but relatively flat to last year.
Got it. That's helpful. And my last question is on, the gross margins. I think, is this just the impact of that out-licensing impact, or how should we look at gross margins for the rest of the year right now? Should I just strip out, not quantified it, but how should we look at just the gross margin line?
The gross margin, inherently, I think, in last 1-2 quarters, we had some challenges because of the input cost going up, etc. We're seeing it slightly taper down. So I think gross margin, you should look at anywhere between 64% and 65% is in here. That's historically where we are. We should more or less be there.
And the adjusted EBITDA, Manish, are on 19%, that is sustainable. Is that the second half outlook?
Yeah, it is sustainable. Yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
And Shyam, just one thing, may not be so important, but the when you said in dollar terms, our quarter was lower by compared to last. Decline was about 7-8%. 11 was a little higher in the sense.
Okay. I had a historical number of 107 million. Probably, maybe that's lower than that, you're saying, last year number.
Yeah, it's a little lower than
that. It was about 102 last year, actually, and this year we had about 95.
Anyway, that's okay.
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Saion Mukherjee from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Just one question on India. So you reported around 13% growth. Now, you mentioned also that this 30 crore is a return, sales return. Is it true to assume it is in India? And if we have to add that, then we get to more like 15-16% growth, I guess. And then,
yeah, it should be. You have to add back to India, and it should be a higher growth. Yeah.
And then last year you would have had some, Favi in the base also, right? So I'm just wondering, this growth number looks a bit high. So
no, second quarter didn't have any major Favi at all.
Not for India, Shyam. Last year we had Favi in ROW. Okay.
In second quarter.
Okay. So Glenn, I mean, what kind of growth expectations you have for India, I mean, for this year and also, let's say, sustainably going forward?
So I think India, it's safe to assume we are growing between 10 to 15% on a sustainable basis.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Again, on the US plant, when are we expecting the Monroe re-inspection to be done?
So we are currently in the remediation mode, Nitin. We are hoping in Q4, we will get an inspection, right? And next year we're hoping to commercialize product from the US, from Monroe.
And how many ANDAs would we have in Monroe filed by now, roughly?
About 6 to 8 ANDAs.
Okay. All put together, including the filed and approved.
That's correct.
Okay. And secondly, when you are doing your now incremental ANDA filings, I presume they will not be going ahead with Monroe for the time being. So is there some impact on your plans on account of that, where some of the filing that you were proposed to do from Monroe you probably couldn't do right now, and you may be doing alternate sites from there for those filings?
So, I mean, clearly, Nitin, obviously, because of the Monroe situation, a lot of our filing plans got pushed out, right? From Monroe. So some of those filings will hopefully come through next year, right, in terms of new filings for injectable products. We have some alternate strategies around injectable products, but we can't really elaborate right now.
Thanks. And secondly, on Ryaltris, the guidance that we gave for $20-30 million of revenue this year for Ryaltris, now, given the fact that you've got multiple partnership agreements which are there on the product, is it fair to assume a lot of the 2030 whatever revenue that you will make on Ryaltris would be essentially just royalty income and profit share for us?
No, so I think we are launching on our own, Nitin, in many, many markets. Okay, so I would not assume that it's only profit share or royalty income, right? A lot of it is our own sales, right, for the year. Also, going forward, it's a mix, right? We have some markets where we commercialize on our own, markets in South Africa, markets in Russia, markets in Asia, multiple markets, right, which we sell on our own. So it's a mix.
And Glenn, when you talk about this number of $100 million plus peak revenues for Ryaltris, the assumption is that bulk of these revenues will be coming through our own front-end sales.
Again, it's a mix, Nitin. And that's why the margin profile on this 100, 150 million will be significantly higher, right? Because it will also have partner royalties flow in there, right? Partner royalties and partner transfer prices, right? So I think it's really a mix.
Right. And on that, again, on Ryaltris, we did book some milestones this quarter. Across where the partnership that you've done, are there meaningful milestones still to be realized, or is this going to be largely from here on royalty income and sales income that will come through on Ryaltris?
I think constantly there will be milestones coming through, right, Nitin, right, on a consistent basis. One is, of course, some sales link milestones. Two is some development milestones, right, on approvals. So I think milestones will keep coming through, right, on an annual basis, right, to us, in addition to, of course, royalty income and other other transfer pricing income that we'll make through partnerships.
Okay. And lastly, on the innovation R&D portfolio, how should we look at the next maybe 6 to 12 months on this portfolio from a news flow perspective, from a licensing perspective?
So currently, I think it's safe to assume that we'll close at least one licensing deal a year between GPL and Ichnos, right, on a consistent basis, right, on the innovation side. So if we achieve that, I think we would have done well, right, on a consistent basis. We closed Almiral, obviously,
Almirall, the product is now in phase one. There will be subsequent milestones coming through from Almirall on a consistent basis. So I think this can be a good revenue stream for us, right? Between, you know, new deals, existing deals, Ryaltris milestones, Ryaltris royalty inflow on a consistent basis, which will help shore up the overall revenue line item, the EBITDA margins on a consistent basis.
So Glenn, we already in mid-November, you know, for FY23, do you still see the prospects of a licensing deal coming through from the portfolio?
We still continue to maintain that we will try and close the licensing deal this year.
Okay. And I think pushing one last minute on the net debt, given obviously there were some working capital pressures in H1, now for the year, do we see that we'll be able to generate cash to maybe make some impact on the debt levels going forward by the end of the year?
Certainly, Nitin, I think that's going to be the endeavor. And anyway, rupee, if it remains stable and also the disruptions are lesser in the second half, we should definitely see some improvement. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harith Ahmed from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. So in your press release, you've talked about plans to file one additional respiratory inhaler product in the U.S. in the next calendar year, and this is apart from generic of Flovent. So have you started clinical trials for this? And any color on this product will be helpful.
So at this point, we can't give any visibility to what the product is or what we're doing in terms of a development pathway. We still maintain that we will be able to file this additional product next year.
And this is an inhaler product, just to confirm.
That's correct.
And trying to understand the compliance situation at Baddi a little better. We've been non-compliant at this facility from early 2019, and so I presume we've undertaken a fair bit of remediation measures before it got re-inspected earlier this year. So that inspection as well didn't really go too well. We received an import alert post that. So, what exactly are the challenges specific to this facility and what's really led to this import alert situation despite our remediation efforts? And have we undertaken any measures across the network to improve our quality systems? Because we've had a couple of other OAIs as well in the recent months.
So clearly, we are disappointed about getting the import alert. We are working with the FDA to see how we can remediate and bring the facility back on track as soon as possible. I think we've also taken many, many measures across the firm, right, to ensure that we strengthen our quality systems and we continue to excel, in the quality area. Right, across all our sites, right, across the network. So I think there are several things we've done and we continue to work through, right, to strengthen our network, our capabilities on the quality side.
Okay, understood. And then last one, the capital raise at Ichnos, which you talked about in the past, is that plan still on or are we shifting our focus more towards licensing some of the
I think at our investor day, which is coming up, right, we will give much more visibility on the roadmap there.
Okay. Thank you. That's all for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Randeria from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Just a quick one on Ryaltris. Being a branded product, have you already invested or still investing in Salesforce in the countries that you are going to market it yourself?
So the good news is we are continuing to leverage the existing Salesforce I mean, the reason we built out some of these segments in emerging markets is precisely that, right? Now we are actually getting the benefits of the investments we've made by way of Salesforce in these different countries. So the network, the Salesforce that we have is, we're able to better leverage them through the launch of Rialtris in almost all of our countries. We've not added Salesforce anywhere to the best of my knowledge, right, across the network.
Sure. And you believe these are sufficient to sort of, you know, for Rialtris to achieve its potential?
Yeah, we think we'll get to the, you know, the 100, 150 million mark in the next 4-5 years using the existing infrastructure.
Got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Nikhil Mathur from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. So my first question is on the revenue guidance shared for FY23. I think 68% is the number that has been shared. And first half, you have closed it on a flattish level. Second half, I would also suspect that India is usually seasonally weak, especially because of respiratory. US also usually having the impact of the import alert. So what will drive this growth in the second half, and that's on a reasonable base in second half of FY22?
Well, clearly, see, I mean, if you assume that we currently have the same run rate, okay, of 3,300 crores, 3,400 crores a quarter, right, that itself will take you to very close to the guidance, right? I mean, what we did in Q2. So very clearly, outside of that also, we have most of our markets, as Brendan mentioned, you know, US Q3 will be better than Q2, Q4 will be better than Q3. India continues to perform well for us in the second half. Europe is doing well, ROW. So I think overall, the Baddi impact we think will hit us in Q4. And even there, given the launches, given all the other things we have going on, we believe Q4 will be strong. So overall, you know, we continue to maintain the overall guidance.
And just to add further, the first half looks a little flattish because we had heavy COVID sales in the first half. First quarter was India, second half was ROW. So I don't, and the second half of the year will be more normal to normal, okay?
And if you strip that out, clearly we are, you know, well ahead of double-digit growth, right, on an overall basis.
Right. Any priorities that you are expecting in second half, which will also include aid numbers in second half of FY23?
Sorry, we couldn't get the question.
Can you say that again, Nikhil?
Any royalties from Rialtris, are we expecting that in second half?
So we don't guide to royalties, Nikhil, right? So I think we, you know, they'll keep coming as we go along, right? Depending on markets and depending on as the products get commercialized.
Right. And on usage of cash, I think there is a significant amount of cash in the balance sheet. And so obviously, gross debt is also high. So why don't we pay gross debt from that cash? I mean, in an interest rate rising cycle, especially because your debt is predominantly in USD, wouldn't that help your finance cost in the P&L?
Sure, just to answer that, so obviously my cash is slightly lower compared to the last year end. Besides that, almost 350 to 400 crores are lying in GLS. So that's a separate listed company. It gets consolidated along with us. Okay. So those are not something that we use. But in any case, Nikhil, any company of our size with so many locations around, we definitely need some cash with us to manage the day-to-day, you know, how we take care of cash. I mean, at best, here and there, 100 or 200 you could manage, but that's about what we can. Besides that, you know, we're running so many enterprises across so many geographies. We need some cash. And the collections keep coming in and they keep, some of them remain in the bank. Yeah.
Sure. And any guidance you can give on the tax rate? It seems to be running high first half, so if you can help on this.
Yeah. So if you look at it compared to last quarter, this is better. For the year, we're guiding around a little less than 40%. But going forward, it will come lower as we go by. Cash tax was, and also the reason is we have been using our MAT credit over the last two quarters in a good way. Obviously it doesn't amount to cash tax. On a cash tax basis, our tax rate was about 27%. So I think in a couple of years we'll be able to use up our MAT, and so therefore naturally we can opt for a lower tax rate. Tax laws allow you to do that. You can apply for a 25% tax rate. The other thing that will happen is also as we grow our sales, our profitability, and the way we have been quite tight on our R&D spends and especially the innovation side, that should also contribute to improvement in the overall tax rates. Yeah, that's how it will be.
So 24 and 25 for the timing will be mid-30s, somewhere around that?
Sorry?
On the book tax rate in FY 24 and 25, it would be around 35-36% level?
Yeah, it should be 35 or lower, yeah. That should be around those levels. But cash tax will be still around, maybe around 26-27. So we're not paying any cash because I have to use the MAT also, right?
Right. So, thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one. Participants, in order to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is on the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning everyone. Question for you, Mani sir. What gives us the confidence in terms of being able to reduce the target of debt and meet the full year target? Is it that you're expecting significant correction back again in the working capital cycle, or you're expecting the profitability to improve significantly, hence being able to pay down the debt?
So obviously, cash comes from profit, so we should be able to significantly improve. I mean, as you can see, we are guided to a higher number in terms of our turnover in the second half, so that's one part of it. As far as working capital goes, obviously, if the disruptions are not so much and they improve, as we are seeing slowly, it will definitely help us to reduce our debt level.
Secondly, will you be able to give us some sense what is the type of impact Monroe is having in overall profitability of the company?
So Monroe as such, obviously it was strategic and all that, but we have not really started any major sales from there. So to that extent, it is not really hit us in that sense. So broadly, that is where we are, okay. So maybe if it was there, some opportunities could have been there, but today it's not there. So we are waiting, remediating it and hoping that we should be able to start our sales from there.
It must be having some effect because of the cost that we're incurring, apart from remediation, also establishment cost. Is that a large number to have some effect, or is it a very small number?
So remediation cost, if you recollect, last year we had taken something to our P&L. So we are seeing how it goes along. Maybe there could be some in future, something little bit coming more. But see, this is part and parcel of the business, right? I mean, obviously, and the cost, obviously, we have been as careful as possible now that we have, it's under remediation. But these numbers are baked in with those numbers as well, okay? So, okay. I mean, this is the challenge of running a plant and having some issues. But I think in the long run, it will serve us well, yeah. That's what we feel.
Sure. And lastly, on the domestic sales, to sustain 10-15% growth, we are looking at adding MRs next couple of years, or with the existing force within and productivity enhancements next couple of years, we can pull through?
I think India, we will continue to expand and grow in India. I mean, we'll give some visibility at the investor day, right, on what is the roadmap, right, for some of these geographies. But clearly, India is a great destination from a growth perspective, so we'll continue to expand into India.
Sure. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Utkarsh Gandhi for his closing comments.
Thank you, moderator. We'll read the disclaimer before we end the call. The document has been prepared by Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. The information, statements and analysis made in this document describing the company's or its affiliates' objectives, projections, and estimates are forward-looking statements. These statements are based on current expectations, forecasts, and assumptions that are subject to risks and uncertainties. which could cause actual outcomes and results to differ materially from these statements depending upon economic conditions, government policies, and other incidental factors. No representation or warranty, either expressed or implied, is provided in relation to this document, and it should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute for the exercise of their own judgment. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information for future events or otherwise. With that, we would like to end the call today. A big thank you to everyone for joining us on the call.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.